Welcome to the Equipping You in Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. The Equipping You in Grace podcast is a podcast about helping Christians develop a biblical worldview in a conversational tone about issues inside and outside the church. Now, for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this show. And with me today is my new friend and brother in Christ, Reagan Rose. Reagan, welcome to the Equipping You in Grace podcast, brother.
Hey, Dave, it's really good to be here. I'm honored.
Yeah, man, it's really awesome to have you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, your life, marriage, ministry, and what are you working on ministry project-wise?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a Bible teacher. I focus mainly on helping Christians gain a biblical worldview about their work and about personal productivity. And I do that mostly through a ministry called Redeeming Productivity. And sweet. I'm married. I have been for 11 years to the same woman. And that's Kimberly.
That's a good thing.
We have another good thing. We have two kids and our third is on the way. Like he is imminent. My wife's due in about a week and a half here. So if she goes into labor during this conversation, I'll finish up and then I'll meet her at the hospital. And I know I might have to go.
No, you will. We'll make another time and you'll go. That's yes. way more important than that. And I just say that so that people would know that I would be like, no, we're done. You're going. You know, there's no question.
So. Yes, I don't think my wife would let me get away with that.
I wouldn't let you get away with that, brother. So, well, yeah, really cool, really cool. So you have this new book out, Redeeming Productivity, Getting More Done for the Glory of God. Tell us why you wrote it and, you know, how it's being received or has been received, I should say.
Yeah, so I have been interested in the topic of personal productivity since I was probably in college, I think, is when I got into the topic, and just really trying to, how do you make the most of your time? How do you keep a good to-do list? How do you set good goals? And so I've read a lot of books on personal productivity, listened to a lot of podcasts. And one of the things that sort of started to bother me over the years is this gap that I was seeing between what the Bible teaches about work and our motivations and what I would call productivity. And what a lot of these books were teaching, where there'd be a lot of practical stuff, but there would also be a lot of philosophical baggage that accompanies that. And so I wrote this book to, as the title suggests, to sort of try to redeem or buy back productivity from the world and try to put it back on a really solid biblical theological foundation, because I do think the Bible has a lot to say about this. And then in the book, I sort of pair that theology with some really just practical strategies you can apply to put some of these things into action in your own work or in your own work and life as well. Nice. So far it seems like it's been encouraging to believers. That's kind of the objective, is try to encourage believers to live more intentionally and focus practically on living lives that are dedicated to glorifying God in everything. And what place is that more appropriate than in our works, where in our work or our jobs where we spend most of our time?
It's really an important thing. I think when we were just talking before for a little while, you know, I said, you know, you're one of your endorsers is Matt Perman. I've known Matt since I think 2012. And so he and I are pretty good friends and those kind of things. And, you know, your work reminds me a lot of Matt's, you know, and that's a compliment. I say that as a compliment.
I receive it as such. Matt was a big inspiration. He kind of blazed the trail with Christian productivity. And then Tim Challies was another one. His book, Do More Better, was very instrumental in my own life and kind of starting to see that connection between personal productivity and biblical theology. So yeah, I receive that as a compliment. Yeah. I love Matt's work.
Yeah, for sure. It's an important work. And like you're saying, it is an important thing. You know, we don't talk enough about this. And so, you know, you spend what, 40 hours. So that's 160 hours of your week doing that. And do you even think about that? Probably not. You know, just show up, drive, then what, you know?
It's like, it's just a way to make money. And then like your real Christian life starts at church or in your home. I feel like we wouldn't say that, but I think that's how we act a lot of times. Our faith is lived out maybe in our home and in our church, but not at work.
And Reagan, already with the fire emoji, man. Like, woo, we haven't got it into the good stuff yet. There, it's good. On page 18, you write, every philosophy of productivity contains a theology. Can you flesh that out, particularly on the dangers of having a philosophy of productivity that runs counter to a biblical worldview, brother?
Yeah. So this is kind of surprising to me. Like I was saying, when I was reading a lot of these secular productivity books as a young man, I was just so shocked how often they would veer into like woo-woo territory. Like, and a lot of these authors would bring up stuff that was explicitly Buddhist or all of these different philosophical and religious notions in books that were ostensibly supposed to be about practical stuff. And the more I thought about it, the more it started to make sense. Like productivity, if you're really thinking about it deeply, it requires you to think not just about how am I efficient with my time, but you have to make value judgments. Like what are the right things to be working on? What is meaningful work? How do you define success, right? So many books on productivity, whether explicitly or implicitly, they define success as getting rich or advancing in your career or, you know, having a great beach bod or something, right? And no, those things aren't necessarily like bad things, like, but those are not the Christian's ultimate definition of success. Right? Like the good life for a Christian is the God glorifying life. And so I think seeing that so often started to make me realize that you cannot separate these two. You can't say, oh, this is just a book that's on practical stuff. Yeah. If it is, it will end up being shallow. If there's any depth to it, if there's something that's really causing you to rethink the way you work, you're going to get a philosophy baked into it. And that's why Christians, I think, when we approach productivity, have to be careful. And we have to say, okay, what is the worldview at play here? And how does that square with a Christian worldview? Because the danger can be you slip into idolizing your career, idolizing money, you know, these different aspects of how the world might define success. But the point of Christian productivity is so radically different from that. We're trying to be faithful stewards of our lives for God's glory. And these other things, though, that's not success. Success is being faithful.
Really good. Well, I was even impressed how you, at the beginning, when I asked you the question, tell us a little bit about yourself, you said that you're a Bible teacher. And that kind of threw me off. You're a Bible teacher who talks about productivity. I'm like, wait a minute, what? What does it mean? But no, that's really, really good. But I think
that's intentional, by the way, that I frame it that way, because that's what I try to be, is start with the foundation, which is keep it all rooted in God's word. And then the practical will be born out of that. And that's how theology works in all of life, right? Our behavior and all of those things, they come out of our beliefs. And that should be true of our productivity, too.
Yeah, it's really good, brother. What is the POWER acronym and how can it help us to have a better morning routine? I think this is something that's, you know, really good. You know, like one thing I think that is good is, I was talking to my wife about this, is, you know, not wearing sweats and a t-shirt and, you know, getting, if you work at home, getting suited up like you're headed to work. So.
Yeah, it's so true. There's a lot of power to a morning routine, that acronym. You can't write a book on productivity without having acronyms. I think it's a law of the universe. But the POWER acronym is basically five elements that I think make up a good morning routine for a Christian. And a lot of times people ask me, like, what's the one thing I can do to try to be more productive as a Christian? I always tell people, start with your mornings, because that's been really the kind of the game changer for me. When I first got married 11 years ago, my wife and I made the commitment to always go to bed at the same time. And I don't know where this idea came from. Maybe we heard in a marriage seminar or something, but it's been really good for our marriage. But one of the unexpected side effects was that turns out my wife needs like 9-10 hours of sleep a night, and I don't. And so we'd go to bed and I'd be waking up at 5 in the morning, sometimes 4:30 in the morning, and I didn't know what to do. And it was through this that I, at first I was like going on social media, or I was like watching TV, just trying to like waste time. And then it hit me one day, hold on, I have all this undistracted time. What would be the optimal way to use it? And so over the past 10 years or so, I've just been tweaking things, trying different, you know, morning routines, different elements. And POWER is sort of the acronym I've come up with that gives you 5 elements that really help you be more effective. And so P is for prayer. So starting your day with prayer, very wise. O is for organized, sort of making a plan for your day, deciding in advance, what are the 3 things I'm going to work on? What's the number one priority? When am I going to do these things before you actually start your work? W is word, as in God's word. So spending some time reading the word, whether it's a Bible reading plan or devotional or what have you. E is for exercise. And I don't mean you have to do some kind of huge full workout. I know some people are big exercise buffs and they say, but I work out in the evening. I just mean do a little bit of something to get your body moving and the blood flowing. It wakes you up and it sort of orients your body towards the day. And then the R in POWER is reading and writing. So like spending a little bit of time reading that. This is for me, I'll read maybe 5-6 pages of a book I'm working on, reading through and writing. Sometimes I'll spend some time journaling too. But what's cool about all 5 of these together is it hits the spiritual, it hits the mental, and it hits the physical aspects of our lives. So you're orienting your heart towards God with prayer and the word, you're orienting your head towards the day with doing some reading and writing and then organizing for the day ahead. And then you're orienting your body for action with the exercise. So you're kind of hitting the whole person if you hit all 5 of these elements.
Yeah, it's really good. Really, really good. One thing I'm not good at is exercise.
Oh, same here.
there's so many people. Dave, you're doing good on all these things. In fact, even in the last couple of years, you know, resting was a big one that I had to really work on. But now the exercise and, you know, even just taking a few minutes and stretching, even if you're just doing a few arm stretches and those kind of things, and or standing up at your desk, having a standing desk, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't take much. You know, I think a lot of times we have like an all or nothing approach to exercise where we're like, well, if I'm not exercising 5 times a week and like doing, you know, CrossFit or something, then it's not exercise. It's like, well, if your objective is simply to get yourself moving in the morning, that's a great place to start. Just do a little, you know, walk around the room, go for a walk, do some jumping jacks or something. It doesn't have to be a lot, but there's a lot of power outside of what you might think of as physical fitness. There's a lot of power just in starting your day with a little bit of movement.
Yeah. And of course, God's word and all those things as you talk absolutely about too. Yeah. Well, how important is it to connect our theology and our work?
Yeah, I think it's critical. I mean, we kind of touched on it. Like your work is like a third of your life at least, right? So if there's like 24 hours in a day and you work for 8 hours, that's a third of your days at least, your weekdays. And I think it is an overlooked thing where we have this theology that makes sense in the pew. It makes sense. We focus on our families and our household, but it's kind of a stretch sometimes in our minds to connect what the Bible teaches to like the mundane stuff at work. Like, I think a lot of us think, okay, well, I can honor God at work by I'll evangelize my coworkers, and that's important, but that's kind of like it for a lot of Christians. They're like, okay, and the rest of it I'm just doing because I have to get paid and I have to eat. But when you connect your theology to your work, it's recognizing the big picture that God has given us as Christians in this world. We're stewards, not just of Sunday mornings or the evenings with our families. We're stewards of our entire life. And, you know, we used to use the word vocation a lot more to refer to our work, you know, and that's just a word that means calling. And that just imbues it with a bit more meaning is... God has providentially put you in whatever job you have. Maybe you're working in an office. Maybe you have your own business. Maybe you are a homemaker. Maybe you're retired and the main thing you do is not work per se, but vocation is the main thing God's called you to. And if you're not connecting your theology to that, you're missing out on a huge chunk of life. So I think it's absolutely critical. And that's why the subject of productivity is so intriguing to me, because it's like, what are the theological principles I should be applying to my work so that I can not just get it done, but get it done well, and not just get it done well, but get it done with an attitude towards bringing God glory with all of it.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, we don't. I mean, we have a lot of issues. We were talking about that before in the church today. But we can also say, you know, God loves the church and he bled and died for the church. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but also, you know, we do have to think through these things, and it's not just enough just to coast, like you were saying earlier. You know, you do have to think through these things. And the more that you do, the more, and we'll talk about getting organized here like in a minute, but, you know, doing these kind of things that you're going to do, that we're going to talk about every day, even just starting in the, like you were saying earlier, small little bits, it's going to help you, you know, because all of us are busy. You know, if you have, mm-hmm. if you have kids, if you're, you know, a lot of our listeners are pastors. So if you're doing sermon prep, you're counseling, you're doing all those things, and or you're a biblical counselor and you're doing all these things. And on top of that, and are you getting organized? Do you know how to think through how to prepare your day? So, you know, because all of us, especially in ministry, the tendency is, well, I'm just so busy all the time. And then I have to ask them, some of my friends, I'm like, well, are you like, do you have some sort of schedule? Do you have some sort of like for some people like myself, it doesn't really, I have my day blocked, like 7 a.m. to 12. I'm working on like some basic things like social media and video editing and some other things. And then the afternoon, I'm a little bit more awake. So for me, I'll write books and articles and probably record content then, because I'm a little bit more awake. But, you know, for somebody else, maybe they're a morning person, so they would reverse that. They would spend their time, you know, doing those things. And but do you even think about that? It'll help you to, I think what it, for me, it became a necessity because I burned out 3 times.
Yeah.
And I had to just be really intentional about that for myself, because mm-hmm. I didn't want to burn out again. And so, but also, you know, we don't talk about even being intentional about productivity. We have to come back and also talk about being grace-centered and not being, you know, so focused on a schedule that you forget that. And so,
yeah, I think that's one of the ironies about productivity. When I talk to people, a lot of times it's met with this sort of assumption. People are like, you're saying I need to do even more than I'm doing. And it's like, no, that's not what we're saying. It's about being more intentional. And a lot of times, like what you're describing, this is a lot of people, especially people in ministry. You're just so busy. What you've done is you've packed every minute. And so the idea of someone coming in and say, hey, how can you be more efficient? And you're like, do you mean more, add more things? No, the first step is to take inventory. What all are you committed to? Write them down. When are these things happening? Should you be doing them? And for a lot of people, productivity looks like doing less things and doing a fewer number of things with more excellence, where you're pouring yourself more into it. You're being more intentional about it. And so it's kind of this catch 22 that the people that probably need to think about productivity the most feel like they're too busy to like hit pause for a second and take inventory of their life and be like, wait, how do I get this stuff organized so I'm actually being thoughtful about where I'm stewarding God's time and being the most useful I can be. And the result of that is usually, in my experience, is people end up being less busy because it's not so frantic. There's a lot more focus to it and boundaries are put in place.
Mm. Yeah. It's really, really good. Really, really good, brother. Yeah. That's where I was. I just was kind of like, oh, throw my day together. You know, I had some sort of like idea where I would do it. And then when I started putting some boundaries, you know, and even for me, I had to realize like having certain times when I block out a certain thing is okay. But having it down to like the hour for me, I feel like, boom, I can't breathe. I'm not going to get it done. And I'm like, you know, so.
Yeah, I like the big chunks of time, right? Where you're just like, this is my 3-hour block to write. That's what I'm going to do during that time. And whatever I write, I write. Yeah.
So what are some, we're talking about, you know, we were just talking about a little bit about getting organized. What are some helpful tips for people to get organized?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mentioned earlier that book, that Tim Challey's book, Do More Better. I think that's a really good book for people who are like, I need to build some systems into my life. He talks in that book about building a task management system, like where do you keep your to-dos, your projects, having a single place for that. I talk about that some in my book as well. But he talks about having a place where you store information, basically having a place for everything, and everything can go in its place. So that's a big part of it, is building the systems out that you need. I think everybody does need that, a task management system, an information management system. Those are going to keep you a lot more organized. And it can be as simple as being more intentional about using the reminders app on your phone and just say, every time someone tells me something I need to be doing or there's a project, I'm going to keep them all here in one place. So that's like the system side of it. I do think, though, there's sort of, I don't know, this is like a higher philosophical level of it, sort of the meta view of being organized as a Christian. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, is I call it the three C's of being intentionally productive. And the first one is consecration. And what I mean by that is just committing your work to the Lord, right? Commit your plans to the Lord. When you approach a new opportunity or request from someone to do something or a project that you're going to do, your first step should not be just to start working. It should be to pause and pray, ask the Lord for wisdom, say, Lord, I want to use this to glorify you, and really wrap it in prayer so that you're thinking about this as a vehicle for glorifying God. This isn't something that needs to get done, just needs to get done. It's something that is now been given to you as a stewardship for you to do as an act of worship to God. So changing your mindset about each new kind of unit of work that comes your way. So that's consecration. And then the second one is completion, which is just a principle of you can only work on one thing at a time. There's been a lot of studies on multitasking. It doesn't really exist. You can just switch between two things rapidly, and it kind of actually burns you out more. But productivity, it's not about doing lots of things. It's about getting things done. And that's not a nuanced distinction. It's about completion, getting things done. When you have a day where you do a bunch of different things, you don't end that day saying, oh, that was a productive day. The days you end where you feel like, wow, that was productive, it's because you finished lots of things. And so there's a lot of wisdom in focusing on, I'm going to do one project at a time or one task at a time, and I'm going to do it till it's done. I'm going to put a little bow on it, and I'm going to move to the next thing, right? So consecration, then completion, and then finally is celebration. And this is just at the end of finishing something, being very intentional to pause and give thanks to the Lord for it, and sort of look it over and be thankful that the Lord enabled you to accomplish this thing. And that gives you again, it's this greater focus on, I'm doing this as unto the Lord. I'm not doing this for myself. I'm not doing this as eye service to men. I'm doing this as unto the Lord. And so you're kind of starting and finishing with a focus on the Lord. And if you apply that three-part framework, consecration, completion, celebration, if you apply that to each thing we're doing throughout the day, you are going to be a lot more focused. A lot more things are going to get done. And most importantly, God's going to get more glory.
It's really good, brother. Like, really good. That's really, really good. Brilliant. What are the layers of Christian productivity?
Yeah, so I think about this. I don't know if a pyramid is the right imagery, but if the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, there's kind of this nice effect where that is, your kind of number one priority is already set for you, which is nice, right? I know yes. That the purpose of whatever I'm doing is to bring God glory. And so the way I conceive of it is that's sort of like the top of the pyramid. That's the top layer. That's what everything's building towards. And a layer below that, or I should say this, I should attach a time spectrum to each of these. God's glory is sort of the eternal goal, right? The now and forever. I mean, that's what we're going to be doing in heaven. That's, you're going to be productive forever in eternity because we're worshiping God. So that's eternity. Well, then in your lifetime, you have what I would call this next layer down. I call it domains of stewardship. These are basically the areas of your life, and this constitutes your lifetime on Earth. So these would be things like your work, your family, your ministry at church, right? Just the different broad categories that God's given to you. And I call them domains of stewardship because these are things God has given you responsibility or dominion over to steward for Him. And so you're responsible for these major areas of life. And so you're kind of breaking life down one layer at a time. So God's glory, then domains of stewardship. And then, okay, what do we do to make sure we're stewarding those domains well? Well, that's where our goals come in. And that's the third level down, is we think in terms of months and years. What are the things that I can plan for, that I can commit to the Lord to try to steward each of these areas well? So what is a thing I can focus on, a goal for this year with my relationship with my wife? What's a goal for this year for my business? What's a goal this year, right? You can go through each of them and sort of map out and have actual objectives. Instead of just being ruled by, you know, the tyranny of the urgent or whatever you feel like doing today, you've actually set some goals in place to try to honor God in each of these domains. And then under goals, you have projects, that sort of weeks and months. These are the little things you would do to try and reach that goal. Like if my goal was something about having a better relationship with my wife this year, it might be taking her on a date every month, or you know, setting up reminders to get her flowers every week, something like that, right? Little projects. And then it goes all the way down to the day to day. And this is your tasks and your habits. These are the individual actions, whether one time or repeating, that help you to make progress on those projects, which then help you to reach those goals, which ensure that you're faithfully stewarding those domains, which ensure that you are living a God-glorifying life in every aspect of your life. That's sort of the layers as I conceive it.
It's really good. Really good. Well, you're a productivity guy. So, I mean, and this is a podcast and we have over 300 plus writers. So, you know, this question makes sense to me. What advice do you have for Christian podcasts and writers and maybe even authors on productivity and improving their craft?
Yeah, I think the big thing that I found effective, and I've seen a lot of other people say the same thing, is just consistency across the board. Like, I don't know about you, but if I write a little bit every day, my writing is better. And I just, it's like, you're just flexing the muscle and it just keeps going. And I think that consistency stretches beyond that too. If you're a writer, there's nothing better than the gift of a deadline, even though we all hate deadlines, but whether that's a book or an article, or even just a deadline you set for yourself, if you're running a newsletter or a blog or something, or a podcast, you're saying, okay, on Tuesdays, the episode comes out. And you just are consistently hitting that every single week or whatever, according to the schedule that's been set for yourself. If you can be consistent in those things, the other stuff just sort of follows along. In my experience, you do improve. You get like a little bit, like 1% better with each podcast episode. You learn how to ask better questions. You learn how to edit your writing a little bit better. You're just constantly being better just through consistency. So I do think an element of that is being somewhat organized. That's helped for me, having sort of templates to the phases of my own writing, like, okay, outline, first draft, second draft, editing, right? And I just, everything I do just follows the same pattern. It takes a lot of the thought process out of it. So I can just focus on, when I sit down to write, I just do the next thing on my list. So those are a few things that have worked for me and helped me to be consistent with some of the creation stuff. I'm curious what you do. What are things you would say about that?
I'm just like, I just want to jump up and down right now, because like, like that is when I talk to people and, you know, help other people with their podcasts, especially, it's like consistency is like the big thing. It's like, you know, when you show up to church on Sunday, you're showing up obviously on Sunday, because you know that the service is going to be at that time. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing. Like, you're doing a ministry, you're providing a service, so why wouldn't you want the people to know when that's coming out? And then they can count on that And then, you know, they're going to tell their friends about that. So just showing up is half the thing.
Yeah.
And being consistent in it. You know, and the same thing is true. And I know Tim Challies talks about this on writing the side of things, just showing up and committing to a plan, you know, starting small, working at your way out, you know, getting some confidence, you know, staying faithful to the Bible and all those things and to Orthodox theology, of course. But, you know, that is really just half the battle. Some people wonder, well, my blog or my podcast never grow. It's like, it's because nobody knows when it's coming out, you know? Yeah. And yeah. So like committing to having it come out and then letting people know that, you know, it's going to come out. Now, nobody expects you to do like me and never take a break. But there's another side to that in that I have this phrase. I think you'll like this. It came up with it a couple of years ago. I work ahead to stay ahead.
Yeah.
And what it means is that I'm always sometimes I am like on, you know, like I don't have any new content, so I have to record it, you know, but I try to stay ahead at least a week or two because it lowers the stress and stress and the, especially with writing and editing and other things, it can hinder you. It hinders you and it stops you from being, you know, effective, whether you're, and this is true, whether you're doing sermon prep or you're writing an article or, you know, those are already hard things to do for a lot of people. And so, you know, the more you can take out the stress out of it and just focus on the tasks, the content of it, it is better. And so, that's what I try to do. I just try to work ahead to stay ahead. And that seems to work well for me. Now, for other people, that's gonna look totally different. You know, you might have some meetings or, you know, so pray, prepare ahead for that meeting. You know, you have that task due. So prepare for that task and get that task done, like you said, one thing at a time, and then work on the next thing ahead of time. You know, so don't just work to the deadline is the point. Work past the deadline, go past the deadline, and you'll be able to do, I think, a lot better work.
That's been my experience as well, too. My stuff's so much better. I'm more creative when I'm not like under the gun. But it's a funny relationship with deadlines. Like the deadline helps because it makes sure that you're consistent, but you have to you got to build in that buffer or it does become sort of a tyrant instead of like a helpful guide. Yeah. I was telling you, we have our babies due in like, you know, about a week or so. And I was just working on that today because I do a weekly podcast too. And I got some ready because, and I don't know when they're going to go out, but whatever week the baby's born, I'm not doing a podcast that week. I'm going to put that one out. And those rhythms become a little bit more natural after you've been doing it for a while. But I think there's something to just committing to a schedule too. And it doesn't have to be the same for everybody too. Like if you're just doing this as a side thing, you don't have to write every week or every day or whatever. Like you could say, I'm going to do something every other week. But the consistency, there's something I think mentally that happens, you know, because we're made in the image of a faithful God who is himself consistent. He keeps his word. There's something that really cool that happens when you say, this is what I'm going to do. And then you just do it and you find yourself doing it week after week, year after year. It's really encouraging. And I think God honoring too, to not be willy nilly about it. Say, am I going to do this thing or am I not going to do it? And if you're going to do it, then okay. Go all in on a schedule and hold yourself to it and you'll see what the Lord does with it and see how you serve people.
Yeah. And I think just kind of leading into the next kind of question, you know, you can just pick it up wherever, but, you know, just progressing in that, you know, and tracking, hey, how am I doing at this? Is it something that, you know, people are finding helpful or do you have a clear focus and a goal to what you're doing? You know, like you focus on productivity, but you focus on it from a biblical worldview. And we want to help people, you know, get into the Bible more and those kind of things and equip them to do that across the whole sphere of life and ministry. But, you know, do you have like a clear goal in mind? And are you able to, are people tracking with that? Are you clear in that? And I think, you know, those are some good things to kind of assess.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, what's that saying? If you don't have a goal, you'll hit it every time. Something like that. Like, it's wise to set out clearly what is it I'm trying to do, what is the target I'm trying to hit, and then bake into your schedule, checking up: am I hitting that? Am I making progress? Are things growing? If not, why? Am I being consistent? If not, why? Those are not always easy meetings to have with yourself, but I do think that there's wisdom in it. And I think it's part of taking responsibility, you know, and saying, if I'm going to do something, this is one of my big words is responsibility, right? I just think if you're going to do something, take the extra 10% effort to do it well. And that means sort of building a system for yourself, making sure you're being reflective about what you're doing, that it is accomplishing what you want, that the progress is happening. And that does require measuring stuff. And the measuring part's not very fun. I don't enjoy that. I'm not a stats person on my own personal productivity or about writing or whatever the thing is I'm working on. I don't like numbers either. But it does tell you something. And that information is useful for helping you make the tweaks to make sure ultimately you're serving people better, and that whatever it is you're doing is being effective.
Yeah. That kind of brings me to another big point about, you know, just productivity and content. It makes sure that, like you're saying, that content is serving people, because mm-hmm. people can tell if you're just doing it for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you're just putting it out because you're now there's a difference. I would differentiate that versus being self-focused versus, like, you're learning something and so you wanted to share it with other people. And so mm-hmm. I would say even that is different, because you're trying to share what you're learning, which I think is really good, and don't ever want to discourage that. But even there, you have to be careful that it's not about you, and that it's, you know, about ministering to other people, because people can pick up on that, you know?
Oh yeah. And so, it's like, this is like a side benefit of it, but you're going to get discouraged if you have a self-focus. Like, if speaking of content stuff, if you're trying to say you're building up a blog following or something, if you're just doing it because, like, I want to reach X number of things so that I can whatever, do this more often, whatever it is your goal is. If it's about you, those times where you check the numbers are going to discourage you, because it takes forever. I think the only thing that can really, like, sustain people doing something consistently for a long enough time is that attitude that should be there anyway, which is I'm just doing this to serve people. If 5 people read this and they're encouraged by it, if I'm pointing them towards Christ, if I'm helping them refine their doctrine to be more in line with Scripture, that's a win. And that's what I'm trying to do. I remember years ago, what was his name? It was a guy out of Dallas Seminary, an old school guy, Howard Hendricks. He's written some books and stuff. I remember listening to a recording of him talking to some people and he was saying, well, what do you do if you have a Bible study and, you know, only 2 people show up, and you thought it was going to be, should you be discouraged? And he said, nope, you praise God that now you can focus your attention on just those 2 people, where you would have had your attention split with all these other people. And that was such a mindset shift for me, because at the time I was doing campus ministry. And I think I've carried that through into all the different types of ministry I do. Is one, it's a focus on individuals. And 2, it's just that attitude of just thankfulness that you have the opportunity to serve people, and whoever shows up, you get to serve them, and maybe even in a more focused way. And that enables you to go the distance, and more importantly, to be doing it with an attitude that really does glorify God and actually does serve people. It's a win-win.
Yeah. I never forget about when we were living in Idaho, I was leading a men's Bible study that I started. And quickly I realized these people don't care about so-and-so. Mm-hmm. They don't care if you know, about John MacArthur or so-and-so name, but they sure do care about you. And they sure do care about, you know, what you have to say. And, you know, so the point was, they don't care if your articles or podcasts are read thousands of times. And that's a humbling thing, but they realize that you're in front of them, and you're, like you're saying, and you're ministering to them. And that was a big thing for me. Because I think I had let the at that time, it was like over a decade ago, I had let the numbers and you know, get to me. And in some ways that was egotistical, obviously, which is also kind of why I'm like, the numbers matter. They matter, you know, because they represent people, but they don't matter to me. I don't get, you know, like you're saying, like they're helpful to know, to be mindful of, but they should be something that we give thanks for. And we're thankful that people are being helped. And that expresses, I think, kind of what you were talking about. You talk about in your book about the motives and bad motives. And, you know, those are some things that, you know, I'm sure you have lots of thoughts on, but.
Yeah. It's not just the work. It's why you do it. I think that's something that's so easy for us to forget. Like it's not just about how you are productive, whatever that looks like in your life. It's about why you're doing it that honors Christ. And if you're really doing it as unto the Lord, like was it Colossians, is it 3:23 and 24 talks about doing your work as unto the Lord. That is so fascinating, because you could have two people doing the same job and one of them doing it in a way that honors God and the other one not. And from the outside, we can't tell. They both look like they're doing it well, but one of them has done their job in a way that actually honors God, that is of eternal importance and has really fulfilled their mission in this world, which is to glorify Christ. So if you don't have the heart right, nothing else is going to work. And I feel like that, you know, we see that all over through the scriptures. I mean, the Pharisees, right? Like they're doing a lot of these outward things, but the heart's in the wrong place. And I think so often we can do that when it comes to work and productivity or even content creation, where everything looks fine, but your heart's wrong. And therefore you have failed, you know, that's a failure. But as you mentioned earlier, the wonderful thing about being in Christ is that we do have grace for those failures, and we can turn back to Him and receive the forgiveness that was bought for us on the cross, and we can keep going in His power.
Yeah, it just going circling back to what you said about, you know, thankfulness earlier and the three C's. I think that is really, really critical, and I hope people will practice that, because in 1 Thessalonians 5, we're commanded, because of Christ and what you just said, to give, to be thankful. And I think if you're just wake up with an attitude of, you know, how can I be you, Lord, how can I be useful to you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm here to be used by you. Help me, you know, to be useful to other people. What you're going to find is you're going to be useful to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then, you know, after you're useful to people, like you said, be thankful for that. Be thankful for the opportunities that He gives you, that He sent your way, you know, and especially if you're in ministry, don't be so schedule bound, I would say, you know, to that you can't ever minister to people. I think, you know, you do have to have it. Don't hear me say to you guys that a schedule is unimportant, but you're in ministry to minister to people.
Yeah.
And so, Be really mindful of that as well, as you make a schedule, and as you are disciplined with your time for the sake of your godliness and for the sake of the help of other people. And that's where you need. I think we could maybe just go here real quick. Is just, you know, where you have friends, and if you're a pastor, you have elders, and so you have in the abundance of wisdom, as Proverbs says, there's wisdom. And so, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. You're in trouble if you're not surrounded by counselors. And I think that's an easy thing to miss, especially for people who are in ministry. That it's very easy to get isolated, and even if you get into this productivity stuff, you start to feel like you can just dial all the knobs in right, and everything's going to run smoothly. But as a friend said to me, just today, actually, you can't read the label from inside the box. And so very often you can't tell where your blind spots are, what's going on in your own life, what you're missing, because you're inside of it. And it's when you're surrounded with counselors who can look and be like, hey, I think you're missing something here. And you can take them under advisement and make those corrections. you know, the Lord didn't put us here to be lone wolf Christians. He gave us the church. He gave us the body of believers, and we function best together, right? The most productive you will be in this life is when you're plugged in with other believers, because the mission is not a solo one.
That's really good, brother. Well, where can people go and find you on social media? Tell us about your podcast and all those things.
Sure. Yeah, you can find everything at redeemingproductivity.com. I do a weekly podcast, which is on all the podcast platforms and on YouTube as well. I'm on most of the social media channels, Twitter, Instagram, all those as Reagan T. Rose. But if you go to the website, redeemingproductivity.com, that's the best place to connect. I have a weekly newsletter I send out there, which has articles, podcasts, and a bunch of just interesting links that week that are, I think, will be helpful to people who are trying to be more productive as Christians.
Well, I'm going to subscribe. So that means that I'm going to encourage all of you to subscribe, because I guarantee there's something there that all of you need to listen to and to consider in your newsletter. So I'm going to do both those things later, but I'm already following you now as of this morning on social media. So looking forward to what you post, brother. Well, just as we wrap up, you know, there's a lot of things that we could talk about, and you know, we haven't even scratched the surface. So just as we land the plane here, do you have any takeaways for those who listen and watch?
I'd say that the big thing is viewing your life as a stewardship. And I know it's like a common thing to say, but I think that is the mental shift. If we make that shift in our thinking, it's not my life. I have been bought with a price. Therefore, I will glorify God in my body. That shift will change the way you approach everything, not just productivity, but it will change that for sure, because you'll realize it's not your time to waste. It's not your life to waste. It's not about you. It's about Him. And the wonderful thing about that is that in God's grace, when we give our all to serve Him, we end up being the winners, because it's a life worth living. It's a life filled with purpose and meaning, and we will be eternally glad that we dedicated ourselves to being faithful stewards to Him and His power.
Wonderful, brother. Well said. Well, guys, we've been talking today with my new friend, Reagan Rose, about his book, Redeeming Productivity, Getting More Done for the Glory of God. I encourage you to go and pick up this book. It will help you wherever you're at in your life. And also check out his podcast and follow him on social media. So, Reagan, thank you so much for your time, brother.
Thanks for having me, Dave. It's been great.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, rate us on the app, and share this with your friends and family on social media. If you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at Servants of Grace, on Instagram at Servants of Grace, or by searching at Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find this episode and many others like it on the front page of our website, servantsofgrace.org.